Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Onigiri and Co. podcast. My name is Michael Rollins, and I am here with my two hosts, Onigiri and Mayon Hai. How are you doing today, ladies?
Yay. We're doing great. That was the best intro we ever had.
Yeah, I think we need to level up our game,
Lixi. Yes, we should be way more excited while we say hello to everybody.
All right, here. This is, okay. So when I did my podcast, this was from like 2015. I did it with the guy who's now my CEO, which is hysterical. And we were doing this podcast on tech. Right. And they're actually still up some. No, actually, I think they're not there anymore. But I did the first intro like on the actual podcast. And he goes, man, I need more energy. And so I did this way over the top, insane, like way more over the top than what I just did. Mm-hmm. And I was like, OK, there, that's stupid. Let's keep me. He's like, no, that's it. I was like, no, it was like. And welcome to the Tech Moonshine, where you will get 100 proof, honest truth, or 200 proof. But I mean, it was like ridiculous. And then somewhere along the line, I think it was actually in the second season when I had Nurk on, I couldn't remember how to introduce the YouTube channel. And so I went over the top again, and everybody was like, oh, that's nice. So.
Yeah, I assume over the top when it's only audio. I think you do videos too, but if people are only listening to the audio, then it's not over the top anymore. It's just
probably
very good at balance.
Yeah, so guys, let us know if over the top was nice in comments on Instagram and stuff like this on Onigiri & Co. Remember that?
Yes, well, they better do that.
Yeah, yes, better do that. You had better message them. No, not message. That gets weird. And subscribe. No, that's YouTube. I'm sorry. Which social media are we on now?
We are usually on Instagram.
Yeah, there we're podcasting.
Yes. And podcast, you know, so that's what we do. Yes. Maybe season 3 will do videos, but that's an if. So
yes,
videos are definitely a different beast entirely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, but the funny thing is that audio is still the most important.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, yes. So. And we'll see how that goes. But yeah, speaking of, you know, doing audios, videos, podcasts, do you want to introduce yourself for those who don't know you and so that they know who we start the new year with? Happy New Year, by the way.
Yes,
thank you. Happy New Year to y'all. So if you don't know me, I'm very sorry. You've missed out on one of the most amazing portions of your life. No, for real. My name is Michael Rollins. I've been in FPV since about 2016, which to me is like the third generation of pilots. And I think both of you are at least in the third. And I don't know if one or both of you is in the second wave.
I was in 2015, January.
See, that'd probably make you like on the transition to the third. What about you, Noelle?
When was that? 2017, I think I started posting. So definitely third.
So I'll finish what the hell I'm talking about because everybody who hasn't. So I did. So I did a bunch of interviews on FPV, and I started in like 2018, maybe 2018, and then I did it for like a year. And realized I was burning out. I took a break. I came back and I decided to do seasons, which is like, you need to do seasons if you're going to produce this amount of content. Mm-hmm. And I did the second season on like the business of FPV. And then the third season was on the history of FPV. And unfortunately, I only got through four recordings and before I realized that I needed to hang it up because there's just not a lot of time for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but during that time period, and I kind of did a preamble to the history by interviewing Boris, who is fantastic. I don't know if y'all have had him on your show.
No.
He'd be way easier to schedule than me.
Okay.
Because I'm on the East Coast US. Lexi is in like Russia, Poland? No, Germany. Yeah, I know. I'm totally kidding. And then Noelle, you're over somewhere, Australia, New Zealand.
Australia, yes.
Australia, yeah. This scheduling this was insane.
Yes.
What time is it for you, Noelle?
It's 10:30 p.m. right now. And usually my bedtime, just so people know, is 9 p.m. So
yeah, I was going to say, you kind of look like you're tired.
Yes.
And it's 6:30 a.m. my time. And Noelle and I wanted it to be more reasonable hours for us, but Lexi is incredibly selfish. And she just pulled a 100% influencer. I'm sorry, do you not understand who I am? And we have got to do it when the lighting is best for me.
No, and
Noelle was like, I can't, I'm sorry. I would love to do Noelle's accent, but I only know a terrible French accent. You do not understand. It is an audio podcast. And Lexi was like, I don't care. And so that's why we're doing it at weird hours.
Oh my God. If Lexi was actually like this,
no one would even listen to her.
It's 12, actually. This is my normal workout time.
Oh,
so you're also making a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Making a total sacrifice.
So, yes. Yeah. Like usually, I don't do stuff in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. I usually just have like my work progress, like 8 to 12 I'm working, then I have my workout time, lunch, working again, and then I'm doing other stuff. Like usually we do this podcast in my morning. It's kind of like it's in the middle of the day, but it's fine. Yeah. It's better than with Botgrinda, because then we did it like it was 3 a.m. my time.
Oh, yeah. With Botgrinda, that was intense.
I remember. Because I was falling asleep there.
Yeah, yes. And I took months to publish it because it was the first season and I was still trying to do things. But anyway, yeah, go listen to the Botgrinda one. It was actually interesting. There was like a full-on action scene going on in the background, like in his garden with cops jumping fences.
Oh, yeah,
and stuff.
I remember that. So, I was Googling it.
That is literally the most Botgrinda thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, he was literally like, wait, there's cops in my garden jumping the fence. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yes, and then they were knocking on his door. Something going on.
Yeah, I mean, and the funny thing about Botgrinda is that if you took a look at him, like just walking down the street, you might walk across the street, right? And like hide your children. But the dude is so freaking nice. Yeah. And in a very interesting way, I think he's perhaps the most honest person in FPV.
Mm. Oh,
because everybody else that does YouTube and produces content for a living, and even me, we want you to believe, and it's true, which this is not a lie, but we want you to feel like there's a relationship between us. So that you will feel like contributing to the thing we do. And that's where something like Patreon comes in, right? Where like it is super important for creators to be able to rely on some kind of income that's always going to be relatively consistent. And Botgrinda is like, no, you need to pay my ass. Because if you don't pay my ass, you don't get this, okay? I'm so sorry, but you are not going to be able to go anywhere else and talk about microdosing and smoking up while we're playing video games and tangentially talking about FPV unless you give my ass some money. And I was just, when I started watching some of his content, I was like, and this guy's amazing. I mean, he's just straight up. First time I ever joined, something had happened and he had lost a piece of gear or something. And so he had the little floater in the bottom of his live stream that was basically like, this is what you're contributing to today. Get daddy this, you know? And I was like, man, this guy's awesome. So
yeah, that's a different type of a game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In some ways, sometimes Chad Nowak used to act like this sometimes, if I remember well, because after he got out of Roto Riot, I remember he just was telling the truth on YouTube, and that was very entertaining as well. And for having, like, I've met him when he had left Roto Riot, sort of. Mm-hmm. I think he had left, but it was still a bit to them. And what he was saying in front of the camera was totally what he was saying behind the camera as well. He was not even acting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, how's your year looking so far? We'll start with you, Michael, and then we'll keep going with Lexi.
The year is looking, I don't know. It's 2022. I mean, yeah. I felt like the year was more or less like 2021 trying to give me a swift kick in the ass on the way out the door. I mean, something, I can't remember what it was. Like my kids, one of my kids was exposed to COVID. The other, another one, I have three, the another one started throwing up. And then like two or three other things happened on January 1st. And I was just like, for real, yeah. For real. Like what the hell? However, things are looking good. I mean, I've got some new plans for the future, so we'll see.
Are you ever going back to YouTube or?
Oh my god, I knew you were gonna ask that.
I had to. I will miss your things. Okay.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Part of last year, and well, how about this? I have already dominated every bit of conversation we've had so far. So why don't you go, and then we can turn that into a topic if you want.
Okay, good idea.
Okay, good. So I do agree with you saying that 2021 wanted to like kick us out. So that was nice. Anyway, I got a little bit sick, and it was just a throat, and I was like, yeah, that's fine. Probably, you know, I was in Ireland. Ireland is beautifully wet and cold and windy, you know, like I forgot stuff like this when I met my family. It was really emotional. Like I met my brother and my sister and my mom, and we hugged. Like I hugged my sister so long that she said, okay, that's enough.
Oh.
She even said, okay, this is getting weird, Lexi. And I was like, I haven't seen you in like 3 years, girl. Why would you say something like this to me? Anyway, so I got sick and we had to go back home. And because of COVID, whenever you are sick, well, that's a problem. So we did the COVID test. It was negative. So we were like, okay, that's fine. It's just a throat. No one will ever know that we're sick. Mm-hmm. And we land and I start getting a fever, the worst fever ever. And I need to drive back home. So I'm driving back home with the fever thinking like I can do it. I can do it. And I come back home, I put the thermometer in my mouth, and it's like 39 something.
Oh my God.
What is that in Fahrenheit?
What is that in Fahrenheit? Google, tell us.
That's gotta be
100.
39.5.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Celsius to Fahrenheit. Ooh, yeah. It's 103.1.
Girl. Wow, that's a high fever.
Yeah, so up until the end of the night, it went to 40.
Which is next level.
Which is next level, yes.
Yeah, that's like brain, you know, peripheral brain damage territory is what that is.
Yeah, kind of. So the next day, I was at the doctor, and they did, because if you have a fever here, they are like, okay, before you even enter the whole building, you get in the COVID test. So I get the COVID test, the quick one. It's negative. So they get me in, and the guy is like, yeah, that's nothing special. Probably you just got the flu. It's all okay. Don't worry about it. And now I have to say, this is the same doctor that said, it looks fine. Don't worry about it, about my foot that turned out to be really infected. So
don't go back there.
Yeah, I'm thinking about switching, but I don't know where. So anyway, I'm like, okay, it's fine. And he's like, yeah, just drink tea with honey and get some, you know, pills for your throat, and it's gonna be fine. So I do, and then I start coughing, and it's coughing like bad, and I'm like, it has to be COVID. And then I get a warning in my app saying that someone got COVID, and I was next to this person, and it was probably in the plane because it was the date of my travel. And I was like, well, shit. So I go to PCR test, and it also comes back negative. And we're like, okay, it's not COVID. So it turns out it's bronchitis.
What is that?
It's on your lungs.
Oh, yeah, bronchitis.
It's on your lungs. Okay. Yeah, bronchitis.
And we say it different here. Come on.
So it's bronchitis. And I've been having it for 12 days before I started getting medication.
Oh, wow. That's good.
So now I have a lot of antibiotics, 3 times a day. And the cough is still there. It's really bad. But I'm starting to feel better. So that's good. So I can literally say that I've been sick this entire year.
For sure. And you still have been putting out content, which is very Yeah, well done.
Like, you should see the content that I'm trying to make. Like, I'm recording and I'm coughing and then I need to edit it out, and I'm just editing out most of the stuff. Live streaming is like, I'm just using my mute button a lot, and people in the comments are like, Lexi casually dying.
Oh no.
Yes.
So yeah, that was my beginning of the year.
Oh wow.
Now Noeli, your turn.
Oh yeah, what happened this year? Well, actually, Australia is in summer, so yay, that motivated me to put my quad together again, which is the little micro Apex by Impulsar. See, oh, there's no probe on it. So it's a member stack that I have inside, and I haven't flown it yet, even though I've had it for ages, but I couldn't because of work, and then because of weather, and then because of lockdown, everything happened. But hopefully this January, I have a good mate who's moving from South Australia to where I live. So I hope that I can go fly with him, this little one. And I've sort of have a New Year resolution, which is I have some 5-inch backups, but I'm going to try to focus always on one quad because I love this one. I don't have to have a GoPro on it. It's HD. So for what I do these days, it's plenty to record video. So I want, my New Year resolution is to fly more and focus on one drone instead of having like 4 or 5 and never fly. So this is what's going to happen. But since the start of the year, I was on holiday for a week, and then I started work again slowly, and I'm already getting like heaps of work. I don't know if you know, Michael, I don't do anything really related to drones. I do video and photos on construction sites.
On construction sites?
Yes.
That has got to be awesome.
It's actually really cool.
You should do FPV there. Like, you should be like, hey, can I actually fly here later?
Oh, that
I'll
would
bring
be awesome.
You the awesome, the most just awesome videos ever.
Put yourself together a, like a Cinewarp kind of thing.
Yeah, that's, and I just have some that I tested in the background, and hopefully this is something I can start doing. So outdoors is very, very restricted in Australia, but there's some projects where I don't really have to be outdoors, I can be indoors. So for those construction projects, I think I could try the Cinewarp. I found the one that I like. There's, I still have a couple more to test. And I got a micro Apex that is 3-inch. This one is the 4-inch. I just have to put it together, and I've got the prop guards for it. So who knows? Maybe I will end up preferring that one. But in the meantime, I really like my ProTech iFly. Is it there? Yes, yes, it's the one. Sorry, I'm tired. I really like that one. So, yeah.
The mic. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, that's I was gonna say that's it for now.
Yeah, the micros, like, once all the FAA stuff started happening here, I started looking into sub 250, and it is so much fun to fly.
Yeah,
like it is so much fun to fly. The only thing that I hate is you just don't have the throw. So yeah, if you know, I like everything we had been flying up until we started flying the sub 250s. And when I say we, I mean like my two sons and I. I've tried to get my daughter into it, but she's like, nah, I'm not interested. She wants to be president and dance. That's what she wants to do.
Okay.
And she could very well be president. We're all pretty much just passengers in her reality. Is what we've realized. It's, you know, I'd be like, no, babe, you can't do that. But daddy. but daddy, you don't understand. I'm like, no, you're, but daddy. So the sub 250s, everything we were flying before that was almost like a kilo. Like we would be in the 700 to 800 range once we put, because we flew with 1500 milliamp hour batteries. We had you know, a Hero 8 GoPro on there. And so it was a really wide, you know, and with that kind of a quad, like you do, you know, a split S over top of a tree and you can just coast for days.
Yes.
You know, that's just, you just turn that thing upside down, you put the controller down, you have some coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
You pick the controller back up, you're still cresting. And the first time I ever tried to do a split S with the sub 250, I almost put it in the tree. But the good news is that with the sub 250s, all you do is just gently blip the throttle and it stops. And that is so much fun. So.
Mm-hmm. What kind of sub 250, so what kind of equipment have you used so far?
I mean, let me see. I don't think it's over there. When I started really looking into it, there weren't any really good actual sub 250 frames. Mm-hmm. And so Bob Ruge and Tommy were both working on what would become their first, you know, acrobatic sub 250 frames. And so I ended up buying what was called the Power Pick from Bob. And it's like this super lightweight. It's actually for racing. And I did 5-inch because I like the thought of 5-inch. And so we did the Power Pick. I initially used Tommy's motors, but I had to replace them eventually. I think his first run had some issues. They always seem to, the bearings or something, they would like, the hub would start locking. And so I ended up replacing those with something from, it was a clone of his motor basically, from someone here in the US. I can't remember their name. I don't know what flight controller it was. I do know that I switched over to Crossfire for the first time. That was amazing. And I also got the DJI set up for the first time. Nice. So I don't really pay attention to equipment though. I mean, I just like, if I have it and it'll fly, that's good enough.
Same.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. my micro Apex is unfortunately not sub 250. It's actually 290 grams. but it's okay. The goal was not really to make it sub 250 anyway. I like the momentum of it because I was flying Aliens and an Apex. I flew Chad's Reverb once, but I never had myself Reverb. When I flew this one, because I guess it's still a bit heavier than sub 250, I really like the momentum on this one because I used to have other frames that were 3-inch. Mm-hmm. And it's like what you said, it's a bit on and off, like the momentum doesn't really carry you. So you have throttle, it's going, and then you stop throttle, it's stopping, and it's folding like a rock. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's all. Yeah. Exactly, yes.
So I'm really happy with this one. I think I found it's a frame that I really like because it's also very sturdy because it's smaller. So I'm confident, and I don't put a GoPro on it because I don't really care about recording with GoPros at the moment. I don't have the stress of breaking an expensive GoPro, but yeah, unfortunately, it's not a sub 250. So lots of people on Instagram had asked when they saw I had that. They were like, "Oh, that's good. What do you think?" And I said, "Yeah, this and that." And then they were like, "And what's the weight?" 290. Oh, okay. Sorry to disappoint.
Not interested anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Fair enough, though. You know, everybody has their own opinion and goals. Yeah, of course. Goals. Yes.
Have you followed sub 250 FPV on Instagram?
I do.
No.
That dude is doing ridiculous things.
Ah, really?
Ridiculous. He is getting what looks like, I mean, if you were to, he's getting HD, what looks like 5-inch 6S performance out of 120 gram drones.
Wow.
It's interesting.
I'm every time I watch one of his Instagram videos, I'm just like, I'm ready to just like talk to him and be like, "Hey, here's my PayPal info. Just send me something. I don't care. Just send it." Yeah. And it's wild to look at.
Yes. Well, we will have a look. I will have a look as you guys have already. And maybe we should try to get him on the show. That would be super interesting.
He won't come on. He Aww. Will not come on. I tried.
We're two girls. Who would say no to us?
There are two people in this podcast that are much prettier than I am.
It's just the hair.
Smarter too. I asked him and I went back and forth with him a lot. I was like, "Come on, man, just come on." He doesn't even want his name known.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair so enough. He's just a super, he's just not, he's like, man, I don't like the camera. I don't like the spotlight. I do not want to be, you know, in front of people. I was like, all right. He never shows his face. He almost never shows his hands.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that it's actually, yeah, I think it's a good choice thinking back now. But it's too late for me.
Andy!
It's too late for so many of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, since we're on 250, I wanted to say 230, and I'm like, wait, 250. I'm actually going the other way around. I want to build a 7-inch for long range.
Ooh, nice.
That's going to be a bigger thing. So I asked people on my YouTube, like, hey, can you share some setups for this? And I got so many of them. And I was like, well, that's a lot. So most of them were actually sharing, like, the other guy. Oh my god, what was his name? I was just emailing him today. Where is it? Oh my gosh. I will never find it again. Oh, I will. Haha. Conrad. File Conrad FPV. Oh, he does amazing videos for long range, actually. And it's like, wow. And I actually, I couldn't find his email anywhere. And a lot of people were saying, ask this guy, ask this guy. So I was like, I'm just going to go to his video and comment on it. Like, maybe he will notice me. Like, hey, notice me, senpai. And he did. He actually he answered my comments, and he also emailed me. He went to my website, like going to the contact form and stuff. And he was like, I don't know if you will see my reply, but I would like to help you. And I'm like, yes. So I'm building big things.
Okay. And is it going to be analog or HD?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Please, please make sure that you put GPS on it.
Yes, yes, that's absolutely happening. Yes, I learned my lessons. I will even make it work this time. Last time I didn't. I had GPS on it and everything, and it just fail-safed and fell down. And I was like, oh, damn it. But yeah, anyway, I will make it work this time. This time is gonna be good. But I didn't decide yet. I'm actually switching to SharkBite while HD Zero. I think there's a drama there. So
as usual.
Yeah, as usual. I was gonna say, what? No, please show me when there's not.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm switching to SharkBite. I don't know if I will do it SharkBite or analog, because I'm kind of thinking, like, for long range, maybe it's better to have analog. What do you guys think?
I've heard, so I've never done anything super long range. I have heard that the reliability and I think the actual latency of analog is a lot better once you get out super far. Jake, do you know Jake Blackburn? Did you ever come across him? He was, I don't remember if it was him flying or he was flying with someone. They were doing actually some like medium range stuff, which honestly, I mean, when I can't see it, it's long range.
Yeah, same for me.
And he was able to go behind, they were in the mountains, and he was able to go behind like a pillar of rock, or somebody was able to go behind the pillar of rock on analog, and whoever had digital went behind the pillar of rock, and that was it. The signal just stopped. And so I guess the way that analog degrades is a lot easier to use.
That's true. Especially when you are in the mountains and there's like snow there, it's like digital is getting you those pixelations and then you cannot see anything. So with analog, you still have a chance to go up or do something. Yeah. That's like my personal fear. Because, you know, if I'm doing long range, it's going to go absolutely with, like, HD cameras and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose
I was going to say, I don't do long range because I'm terrified. From signal degradation, I had both already. So I had digital, which just froze. So then I had to guess what I was doing.
And that's the fear.
And analog, at least it gets very noisy, but you can still see. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have time to come back and get a bit more signal, whereas... Where do you come back with digital if it's frozen? You don't know exactly where you're going.
So I got to fly with Drew Camden one time. Which he and Chad, I mean, we went down to Orlando for my son Logan's 12th birthday. We were going to go do Universal Studios because we kind of do make a big deal about 12th birthdays. And for some reason, I don't know why, but we do. And I contacted Chad Andrew. I was like, hey, can we just stop by? And so we stopped by the day before, and Logan, after we were leaving, he was like, Dad, if we go home now, this is the best trip I've ever had. And I was like, oh man. Wow. Which made all the drama afterwards so much harder. he did something that I've never really thought about, is he actually has auto level mode. I can't remember it. I don't even use it on a Switch.
Yep.
And so if he gets into a place he's not really sure what's going to happen, he can pop that in the quad, immediately writes itself, and then he can just throttle up. And he may have some kind of like, or I don't know if he flies this anymore. But when he showed it to me, I was like, that is genius. And I should put that on my quads. I never did.
But all the things we want to do.
That feels like something that could actually be super useful in long range if you did actually lose.
Yeah, I've heard that some people have not only auto level mode on Switch, but they do level and throttle up. Mm-hmm. So if you are behind something, it levels and throttles up, so you get back the vision and stuff like this. So I think I will put this into my long range, that's for sure. Because every time I fly long range, my watch is like, oh, you're doing cardio, good. it's really interesting on races, especially like you can go to my like heart check and you can see literally when was my hit and when was the finals.
Oh, very nice.
It's like,
I think the auto mode is even just a great advice for anybody. Like just what you said made me want to try it, just in case sometimes, you know. With HD, I was really impressed by how it goes in metal environment and concrete, like Bando. It was really good. I was really impressed. I have the hack, though, so I'm blasting a little bit the signal. But
we do whatever the hell we want here, man.
I'm an interrupt, so I will just say it educationally. My VTXs can do more than 25, but of course I'm not doing that.
But yeah, even if I think even with this signal, I could still have some issues because I've had one there when I was learning with HD. I took off too early, I think, and the goggles didn't catch up. I don't know what happened. And then that's when the signal froze. And I think if I had had that switch, it would have prevented a crash. But who knows?
Have either of you done much flying over the ocean?
Yes.
A little bit.
Okay.
I even did that from a boat. From a boat, it's worse.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I actually did it with Drew and Alex in
that's right,
in Croatia. Yeah,
I remember that.
Didn't one of you was it you that lost a drone? Somebody
no, it was
lost
Alex.
A drone.
It was Alex.
Alex and Drew man muscled into the water. And
yeah, it was really interesting.
That dude is skinny.
Yeah. And Alex was so sad later that I proposed, hey, let's go for a fancy dinner, and he didn't want to go with us, so I took Drew on a fancy dinner.
Oh, that is amazing. I mean, I'm going to be honest. If I'm going to take either one of those dudes on a fancy dinner, Drew is much prettier. Alex has kind of got like the, you know, pretty boy thing, but Drew...
He was too young for Lexi anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We got free drinks from the bartender, so I guess...
Because of Drew.
I tell you, it was because of Drew.
I have a story that I may or may not should share with you.
Yes.
I can't. So, all right. So the backstory that I hinted at is, like I stumbled my way through about 5 episodes of literally setting the FPV world on fire. Most of them involved Rotor Riot.
Okay.
It was
in
fun.
Some way, shape or form. It was, you know, it was interesting because there is a, it was one of the best experiences from the whole time I did YouTube. And part of that was because that is not an experience most people get. And it was terrifying the first 3 times. And, you know, the first time it ever happened, I was, oh my God, oh my God, I gotta stop this. Oh my God, oh, you know, and I fumbled and screwed it up. And the second time, I didn't freak out as much. The third time was still terrifying. And then the fourth time, I think the fourth time was like when I made everybody think that our friend Mr. Nowak had done bad things to himself. Yeah. And it turns out that a colon is not well understood in the English language, and I had to change the title. I was trying to give it as a trigger warning, but that's not how most people took it. And that is perhaps one of the most interesting lessons. But by the time I got to like the fourth or fifth time that I set the world on fire, I was like, eh, it'll blow over. It'll blow over. But I have like such incredible empathy for these folks that, you know, they go viral for all the wrong reasons. And you can like in real time watch them freaking out. You know, and there's this feeling that you have to respond now. And you don't and you shouldn't. Like, you need to take a moment. You need to take a deep breath. You need to write some things down if you're going to give a response. But anyways, so because I blew the world up because of Rotor Riot so many times, it was told to me that on the Rotor Riot set now, if if someone gets a little complainy, and it has been told to me that there's one particular person on Rotor Riot that will get very complainy from time to time. They will look at anybody that is complainy and say, "Go tell Rollins." And that is it. And everybody knows when they hear "Go tell Rollins" to STFU and, you know, man up or whatever you would like to say. And apparently,
that's interesting.
Like actually, it's going on in the admins group too, just saying.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah, so an admins group, because I'm actually a moderator for Rotor Riot group. It's also like this, like if someone gets complaining, they get gold till Rollins. And actually, they did said something to me like this once, and I was like, I did. Because I was complaining about the guys being like, why don't we have more women in the hobby? And the answer for this is in the freaking comments. And I started ranting about it. And someone actually says, go tell Rollins. And I was like, I did.
Yes, you did. You were the second guest on the whole show.
Yay. And I didn't tell Rollins.
Yes, you did. And Noelle, we tried to coordinate. It was just so difficult.
It's just too hard. And I think when we tried... maybe that was back in 2019.
It was like 2018. Yes, it was some time ago.
It was probably not 19. I think it was 18, which was probably not the best year of my entire life. So, you know, this is nothing against you. Very wrong timing.
No. Yeah. I never took it personally.
Now you can go and tell Rollins.
Yeah, you can go tell Rollins. I did have two shirts made with Go Tell Rollins on the front of them.
As well.
And it's funny because a lot of the people that know me, when they see those shirts, they're like, I need a shirt like that. Like one of the people that I work with, she's in product, and she, as soon as she saw it, she was like, I need that shirt. Like, she's like, I don't think you understand. I need that shirt.
Right.
And I was
meow.
Like, oh man, right meow. Yeah.
So, I really like this kind of, it's almost like an inside joke, but if everybody starts using it, it's really funny. The Go Tell Rollins. Mm-hmm. There was one going on. I don't remember now because it was very early for me. It was back in 2017 where I don't know if you've ever heard of it because I don't know if it's only in Australia or something like this. It was called doing a chicken sandwich in FPP.
I never did understand this.
Oh, do but you now, want to know?
So now I do. Like, I actually finally got the story, but I think you should definitely explain it.
I got told that story a long time ago by Chad Nowak, and I am not too sure my memory is correct, but from what I recall is that there was a group, the OG group of FBV, I think it was even on a forum, that usually talked about things and were discussing, you know, equipment and FPV flights. And one day, somehow, one of them just got really upset about a topic in the discussion. I don't know what it was about. And what he did, while he was, you know, a usual active member of the community, he just wrote chicken sandwich. And then no one ever heard about him again. So doing a chicken sandwich was literally disappearing from the community.
Do you know who it was?
I don't know who it was.
It was Blackout.
Oh, really? Oh.
Mm-hmm. It was Blackout. That's the last time anybody really heard from him.
Oh, Oh, no.
And what's wild is, like, you know, he was, it's funny because his, you know, FPV name was Blackout. But if you talk to people that knew him at the time, they will add the drunk. And so apparently Blackout was like what he would do when he would drink. And so I've tried to track him down. And like, it's to the point where a few folks have said, no, I think he passed away.
Oh, no.
And so no one's, so far as I can tell, nobody has really had contact with him since then. And it's a really, it's kind of one of those, it's kind of one of those things where he had such an outsized impact on how we think about drones. But he was just like, he had the idea, it was there. And then he just like disappeared.
Oh,
and it's really just, it's kind of one of those stories. Like when I did the history episode, I tried to track down a lot of people, and they were just guys that, man, they're not there anymore. I don't know where they went. You know, some of them, like Quad Mover, he's still around, but like he changed his channel completely.
What do you mean he's still around? We're talking every day.
Oh, do you talk to him? Yeah.
Yes, see, I had
okay. Well, that's what I was saying. I was like, he's still around, but then like you go look for like Metal Danny or,
yeah,
or Blackout, or there's a few of the other guys, like you know, going back to the generation thing. You know, Chad Nowak is first generation. Mm-hmm. Boris is first generation. And Boris was one of the other ones. And a lot of people had not heard from him for a long time. And he left a comment on my YouTube channel.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh my God, it's Boris. You know, I was just like freaking out. And I left. I was like, Boris, come on my show. And he did. And it was like amazing. And he's just a really cool guy. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those OG folks, they've just gone off somewhere else. Like, or, yeah. And I don't think most of them died. which I'm happy
morbid
about. Yeah.
I think it's more like maybe they're just enjoying FPV on their own, and just not sharing anymore, which I feel like I understand. I recently told Lexi, I don't know if I'm going to keep on my social media. But then I thought about the podcast and I'm like, I don't want to leave because I like the podcast. I like what we're doing. But it's a lot of mental charge to have a life online. And I don't think it really aligns with what I am now as a person, who I am. And but because the podcast is something I really, really enjoy, I'm like, well, I guess I still need to be around.
A little. But I think the most scary thing for me is whenever I do like a change, like if I put a vlog without FPV in it, I'm like, literally, my watch probably thinks I'm doing cardio again. Like, for real, whenever I do something else, I'm thinking like, ah, oh, this is weird. Like, I actually have this book coming on, and I'm thinking like, I need a separate channel for this, because if I post it on my normal one, that's a problem. And it's the same with, like, I did this book on social media, and I don't know, Michael, if you have seen it. It's printed.
I did, actually. It is, and it's a beautiful shade of purple.
Yes, right? Yes. So anyway, every time I do something different, I'm thinking like, oh my God, will they kill me?
You know, it's so, both of those points
it's
are
It's like
really,
you cannot change. You have to be the same all yes, the time.
Yes. And that's the hard part. I mean, part of the reason I step back is because I'm tired of doing interviews. And, you know, once you do, I think I counted it up at one point. I had done almost 75 interviews over
that's a
time.
Lot.
That's a lot of interviews. And like, you know, the first part of it was amazing. I mean, you know, I was like, you know, I wanted to be a YouTuber. I wanted to basically be, you know, Casey Neistat for FPV. Mm-hmm. No one can be Casey Neistat. I'm sorry, period. Except Casey Neistat.
Yes.
But, you know, I interviewed Chad accidentally. And it was really like almost, someone was asking in a comment if this was right when they sold part of their company to RDQ.
Red Cat.
And to what?
To Red Cat?
No, it was RDQ. So initially, Tyler took a stake in Roto Riot because Tyler wanted a voice because he doesn't apparently have a voice at the time. And Red Riot needed the money. I mean, they were insolvent.
Of course.
And so and someone was asking, well, is this Chad's in the video I posted? Because I posted, you know, a reaction video. And it did pretty well. It got like 150 views at the time. Well, Chad Capper watched it. He was in the comments. Somebody asked if this was his exit strategy. And I said, man, I don't know. And Chad responded, why don't you ask me? And then that was it. We were off and running. I was like, Chad, come on. Let me interview you. We'll put it on. And Chad actually recorded it on his side and then sent me all the video. And, you know, it was that. So, like, here's my subscriber count for up until then, right? It's, like, basically flat. Like, if I put on one subscriber a day, it was a good day, right? And then the next thing I know, it literally went almost vertical. And I think that I went from, like, 400 to 1,500 in a few days.
Nice.
Wow. And it was it was awesome. I mean, it was amazing for all the wrong reasons, but it was amazing. Because, you know, at that point, I'm like validating myself based on my subscriber count, which is the stupidest thing you could ever do. Because let me tell you something, that thing will level off. And when it levels off, you start questioning yourself. It's like, maybe I'm not as good as I, oh my God, what's gonna... You know, and then, so then I interviewed people after that. Lexi was number two. It was a lot of Red Riot guys, Bardwell. And Bardwell told me something. He said, listen, enjoy this time. He said, right now they love you. They will eventually come for you and they will bring pitchforks and they will bring torches.
That's true.
And I was like, no, man. And then it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
But they came for me, and it was like eventually all that hockey stick growth slowed down and it was like devastating. So
yeah, it hurts YouTube, when it happens, folks.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and that's when I think it was too much for me. We were talking about 2018 earlier. At home, it was already not great for me, and I had just come back from my trip to the US. That was amazing. That was, for me, the peak at that stage, because I think I really enjoy the podcast right now. But if we have to compare, it was the same enthusiasm. And then came back here, and because I had started working with Steele and Eric for ethics, and at the time there was Snake as well involved, somehow something happened. Because that was amazing. I loved it. I loved the guys. But the community, I don't know, that was different. And I was
there
like
was a
at
switch.
The stage. Yeah. And I'm like, that's it. I'm out. And I did what I thought was my last video on YouTube. And then I had heaps of people, which was very sweet. We were like, no, I'm watching you with my daughter. Like, that's the comment that made me feel like I had left someone. But it just hurts too much, though. I remember before posting the last video, I was really, really sad. I was like, I've always been myself, which, you know, lots of people are themselves. We were talking about Botgrinder and stuff. And I've never really done anything for money because that wasn't my thing. I wanted this to be my hobby. So I was like, even when you don't think, when you don't do these things for money, people still find way to, in France we say shit in your hand.
Yes. That is the best.
Over. It's a description, you know, you're handing things over. That's and people brutal. Just literally do that to you. And I was like, I'm over it. And it definitely ruined the hobby for a long time. But I also, you know, had to take into account that I was in a bad phase. But yeah. I totally understand what you're saying. When what Joshua said to you as well, it does hurt. And I was really empathetic. So, you know, I know ethics and Red Riot at some stage, there was a lot of, you know, debate and people wanted to choose team while Steele was still talking to people anyway in the background, in good terms, I mean. Anyway, it divided the community. And there was a time where I remember Joshua Bardwell was really a victim of abuse online. And I messaged him it was already 2019 for me, and I messaged him and I was like, I'm so sorry, this is happening to you, you don't deserve it. And I still feel bad for him that all of this happened to him, because after all, we're all human.
Bartwell is freaking amazing. I mean, that's the hard part. Is like, anyways, go on. Please finish your story.
I was going to say, we're all human, and whether you disagree or agree with someone, there's still like a heart in that person. And harassment is not something that should happen. Mm-hmm. And especially Joshua, whether you agree or not with what he's doing, personally, I've always messaged him when I needed him, which is very selfish. And he has always answered me. So, you know, to me, he's been an amazing person, and he's been a great source of knowledge for the community. So, yeah.
Are you able to share his response? Because I'm sure it was very nuanced. But if you don't want to, then don't.
When you said,
I'm just so sorry this happened to you.
I don't really remember. I think he just said something along the line, thanks a lot for sending these kind words, something like this.
Yeah, that's very Bardwell.
Actually, I remember what he said to me when I wrote him the same, because I remember someone was even ordering pizza to his address when he was having live streams, and someone was threatening him at one point that they will send police or something like this to his address. So I was really like, I'm so sorry that this is happening, this shouldn't be happening, can I do something to help you or whatever. And he said, never share your address on the internet. He said, say which area you're in, that's it. And I'm always saying, I'm in Hessen. Now have fun looking for that. Sometimes I'm like more precise. I'm like 45 minutes from Frankfurt, but which way?
Right. You literally just described a... I occasionally I think like there's a couple videos where I know that I effectively doxed myself. And every once in a while I think back, I'm like, I should probably go take those videos down. But for me, it was actually flight videos, because I fly in my front yard a lot. And so there's certain things that you can see during the flight where it's like, oh, I know exactly where he lives. But I'm also a white dude in America. And so there's a little bit of a difference for me versus like Lexi. We were on a live stream with you, and we don't have to take it this way if you don't want. But there was some dude that was just what did he say? He was like, he gave you like a giant super chat and asked you to take a picture of the front of your building.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have no tolerance. I'm just.
In my mind, I'm like, this dude thinks he's being sly. Like, it's just you're just a creep, man. Dirty creep.
Yeah,
I get weird messages sometimes. So hey, all good.
I've always been lucky.
Really?
The only thing that happened to me, and I feel like that hit different as well than messages. I never got inappropriate messages, and for this, I'm grateful. However, when I first moved to where I live now, I worked at a hobby store. And then I don't know how I found that Instagram account, but because I was working at two different hobby stores, sometimes I was at one, sometimes I was at the other, and that day I wasn't at the one where that person went. And I don't think they meant really anything bad, but they filmed the counter where I usually stand behind, and then they said something like, oh, this is where she works. And I was really freaked out, because I feel like it's creepy in a way, even if that was not the intentions. When I saw that, I was like, this is creepy, because I work there and eventually I'm gonna go back there. And yes, that's
scary.
It's the only thing that happened to me, but I didn't really enjoy that part.
I was for some time I was using my dad's address. I told him that I will use his address. When I was sending packages and letters with sticker packs and stuff like this, it's all my dad's address, not mine.
And then he has the baseball bat ready for
He doesn't care. He's like, I'm just gonna, because he has security and stuff like this at his place. He said, like, if something happens, if you get any weird packages or whatever, I'm just gonna go straight where I do have to. He just doesn't want me to share my address either. So people were like, okay, so you're in Poland or in Germany? I'm like, I'm in Germany, but you get my dad's address. So that worked well. He said that I got some packages with sweets. That was nice. He said that I got I got one letter with pictures in it, and he said that he will not share this because he burned them in his fireplace while drinking whiskey. And I was like, damn.
I'm sorry, as a dad.
Oh, yes.
I can only imagine what was in those pictures.
And I didn't want to ask.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. So my dad is happy to help me with those things. So that's nice.
Yeah. It. So let's take it somewhere not dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of funny, though, that some people
it is.
Do yeah. that. It's like hidden sweets, cool. Like one guy from Belgium actually made me chocolates. It was nice. Aww. It was, they were amazing, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I know this guy personally, so all good. But it was so nice. But yeah, it's just funny that some people want to send you such weird stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I got some packages for my birthday. That was also nice. It's all nice. There's just this 1% of people.
Always.
I'm here to tell you, nobody ain't sent me nothing.
Oh, no.
That's not actually 100% true.
Okay. I'm going to send you my fantasy book once it's out because you're my friend.
I will 100% read it. No, but it's super funny because, you know, for me, I mean, my concern now is actually more along the lines of, you know, everybody's going through people's old posts and they're trying to dig them up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did I ever say anything controversial? I know I've said things controversial, but are they controversial enough that people will come after me? Mm. And so it's just such a weird, weird time that we live in now. But, you know, going back to what you were saying a little bit, Noelle, one thing that is really true is the negative comments may not devastate you, but they just start chipping away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know for me, even now, like I kind of stopped looking at my YouTube comments, period. And I wanted to respond to all the good things that people were saying. And like for this last one, I actually paid attention and I need to go back and respond because it was like, I feel like I kind of got like to hear what people would say after I die.
Oh my god.
But it's kind of like your experience, Noelle, where it's been amazing. I've had people legit tell me that some of the things I shared helped them hang in there. You know, where they're like, I was in a really bad place and then I heard the episode you did with Chad Nowak and I decided to wait.
Oh.
And you're like, "Oh, thank you." You know, I'm like, you know, that validates everything I did. And, you know, for the most part, this one's been really good. But I know for me, it was time, right?
Yeah.
Like I had gotten to the point where I was like, I got to put this down. Like, I'm just going to, it's going to die a terrible, slow death if I don't. It was already dying a terrible, slow death for like 2 years. You know, so.
It's interesting what you just said, and I'm not trying to do a contest of people messaging you. And yeah, it's just that I literally think of this person a lot in my everyday life. I had no news of this person, but I was still living in Central Desert, and my channel was like maybe, you know, 5,000 people, not many people at the start, and. Instagram was growing as well, and one day I was watching like The Walking Dead, something like that. I remember like one of the seasons, and I was just reading a couple of messages on Instagram, and it's this guy, I think he was a pilot because his FPV content was on his feed, and he messages me and he's like, hi. And usually when people say hi, I don't know what you think, Lexi, but it doesn't always lead to something very fun with those guys.
When someone says just hi, I'm just ignoring it right now.
Because yeah, sometimes it leads to weird things, but I don't know why I said, hi, how are you? And he said something like, it's not exactly what he said, but he was not doing well. So he said, actually not really well. And this guy starts telling me without any goals, you know, like sometimes guys want to pick up girls, but that's not what he was trying to do. He was just telling me his life was awful. it, not going into details to me, but just saying he was not having a good time. And that night or morning for him, because I think he was somewhere else in the world, he was not sure if it was worth it, you know, going on. And I'm like, what's happening? I'm not trained for this. Oh my God. And I tried to be the nicest person. And then I asked about him, you know, I don't remember really because it's buried in my messages. And, but I have just the memory of this person. And I, at the end of the conversation, when he said he was going to try to go sleep, I felt like, I don't know, I was hoping he was really going to go to sleep. And then life happened. I never heard about him again, but I think about him like a lot to this day. And I'm talking that was, 2017. I hope he's okay. And I would love to have news from him one day, knowing that, you know, life is good now and we all recover eventually if we try. It's not easy, but
And that's, I mean, that's the thing though. Like you say, you're not trained for it, but you are, you're a human. And one of the really hard things about being a personality or watching a personality on YouTube or TV or anywhere else, but especially YouTube, because you get a much deeper look into people's lives, depending on the type of content they make. And, you know, most people want connections. I would go so far as to say all people want connections. And it is, there's something about being able to watch somebody on YouTube and watch them talk and watch them live a piece of their life that builds a connection there, right? And so I would be willing to guess that that guy had been watching your content and had enjoyed it and did feel a connection to you. And, you know, albeit there was not necessarily a reciprocation of that connection, there was the, you know, and I don't mean to use this word in any way, but the way it's intended, the intimacy of a conversation, right? We're not talking physically, anything like that. But when you get together, when you talk to somebody, when you are in a relationship of any kind, everybody wants that intimacy on some level of talking to a friend or talking to a partner or talking to a child. And if you don't have that in your life, it can feel very empty. And even if there's people around you, you may not have that in your life. That's the hard part. And so he probably felt that connection with you and you reciprocating it in the moment probably meant a lot.
Actually. I hope so. I know Lexi has a Discord going on with like a whole community, which is an experience I've never had. And I was wondering, I feel like it's the right time for Lexi maybe to talk about how does it work? Like, do you have, how does it feel to be, you know, managing? It's not managing, but having this whole community on your Discord.
Well, it actually started with not many people. Currently there's, I don't know, 100 people in there? Because it's not only Patreons. Patreons, there's 72 of them. But there's also friends like Michael Rollins there, Onigiri is there, just saying, if you guys want to support on Patreon.
I'm also a Patreon supporter, thank
that's
you.
That's true, that's true. Thank you very much for doing that. But yeah, it started really small, and at the beginning I wasn't sure really if it's a good idea. Especially that the conversation wasn't going when I wasn't there. It was kind of scary. But after this like entry period of time, people started joining. They started having conversations without me. So I was kind of like backing up a little bit so they can, you know, get friends and stuff. And currently there is a full community. Guys are playing games together. They are talking every single day. There's good morning every day, good night every night. It's just a really amazing place. And we have a couple of channels like rants, where you can basically rant about something that happened to you. We have a new one that's called Existential Crisis, which actually has a special setting that the messages get deleted after a while. So if you feel like you said too much, it's just going to get deleted. And guys are really doing well there. And I tell you truthfully, this is my safe place. Like, I can talk about anything I want in there. And it's really nice to talk about things in there. And those people are my friends, like, for real. So it feels a little bit different. It's like this, a little smaller community within my community. That's just nice. I don't know how to say it. It's just so nice.
I was going to say, why is it that every time people do things with Michael Rollins, it goes deep and we start talking about
it? Because go tell Rollins.
Go tell Rollins.
I mean, I have no idea. Honestly, I don't know. It's funny because a lot of people have said that. And like, you know, I was talking to my brother the other day. So I've got two younger brothers and then two adopted sisters. And my dad is incredibly good with people. Now, my dad can also be very, very abrasive and very short and, you know, very just like if he thinks your idea is stupid, he may very well tell you it's stupid. Right. But at the same time, he's very, very good with people. And my brother and I'm in my 40s. My brother just entered his 40s. We were talking one day and he did something to me that I do to other people sometimes. And yeah, I was just having a really hard time, just kind of in crisis mode because of some things. And he just spoke right to the thing that was the problem. And I was like, bro, what the hell, man? What'd you just do? And we started talking about it, and we both realized that somewhere along the lines, we picked up stuff from our dad, and we do this thing that our dad does where, you know, it is almost like capturing the heart of the moment and just talking about it easily. And so I don't know, maybe that's what it is, but it is weird because I've had people come on, you know, the show and share things that they've never shared with anybody else. And I'll be like, are you sure you want this to air? Like, I can just cut this whole section. It's very personal. And almost without fault, everybody, almost without exception, everybody has been like, yes, please air it.
Yeah. It's interesting. It has happened only once that I did an episode with Steel. And we didn't do it with Lexi because I was doing a series of interviewing people, and Lexi was part of these people. So everybody has their own episode. And at some stage, I was asking Steele about his plan for the next 5 years. And I was expecting he was going to talk about FPV. And suddenly he starts talking about his personal life. And I'm like, okay. And I didn't know how to react. You know, I'm like, we talk in DMs and stuff. So I was aware of a bit of what he was saying. But he starts talking about our big thing that was happening at that time, and I'm like, oh. And at the end, I'm like, do you want that to be published? He was like, yeah, it was awesome. I never told that to anyone. I'm like, okay, cool.
Okay, that's fine.
It goes back to that connection thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you share something, when you give a piece of yourself in a conversation like that, it is you're building connections, and as a result, you know, there is I mean, this is why people go talk to therapists.
Yes, right? Therapy, like, is important.
Most people, the thing that's crazy is that a lot of people will just go to a therapist because they just need to say something.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
And you guys are giving people voices, even if you don't realize it. And so go ahead.
Yes. I was just going to say, even this podcast with Lexi personally has brought me closer to her, because when I wanted to do a podcast, I was like, I want to do one, but I don't want to be alone. And I've always wanted to meet Lexi. It just never happened. And I'm like, well, then that's just the right person maybe to do it with. And I think we're very close now, and it's really nice.
I want to believe in it.
I wish everybody could see the video of what Lexi just did. That was amazing.
I really want to. Like, sometimes I'm writing to you and I'm thinking, can I? Is it right?
Yeah. No, that's good.
In general, when we're talking about the different types of comments and the connections and stuff like this, I do feel like I care about people who message me. and I want to talk with them. And I understand that they want this connection, because I think in general, now people are really lonely. There's not many people to talk to, plus there's COVID, and it's just tough on people. And to be perfectly honest, I started treating my negative comments more like a therapy. So let me explain. So I was talking to my therapist first about it. So it's a kind of informed thing. Every time I'm getting a negative comment, I'm asking myself three questions. One, do I care about this? Like if someone says your hair is weird or your accent is weird, do I care about this? Let's say yes. Okay, can I change it? Well, it's my accent. Probably I cannot. So it's not a problem anymore, right? And three, if I care about it and can I change it, do I want to change it in my life? If no, we don't really have a problem anymore. And if yes, then I can walk on it, you know? So if I got a bad comment like from the Croatia thing, people were commenting on the video with me on Rotor Riot, like, why is Lexi even here? She's not a good racing pilot. She's not a good freestyle pilot. What is she even doing there? And I was like, I'm a driver. I'm good with driving. Get that. I was driving them all over the place. They wouldn't go anywhere without me. Huh?
Get that.
Get that. So that was basically what I was thinking. Like, people are like, oh my God, your accent is weird. Do I care about it? Okay, maybe. Can I change it? I'm talking with my brother. I hear the same accent. I'm like, no, I cannot. It's like, no, not happening. I'm sorry. So whenever someone says things, I'm thinking really like, it's like a free therapy. Do I care about it? So sometimes you get the negative comment that's like, yeah, it kind of bothers me too. I can change it. That's fine. But when there's a lot of hate, just like, you're not a good pilot at all. Like, one, I would probably kick your ass. But okay, let's say that I don't know that. I'm a driver. So it's just basically like, if someone is struggling there with those comments, maybe try to write those three questions, put them into your screen or something, and really answer them. Because, go this Irish way. If you cannot change it, then it's not a problem.
See, where that falls down for me is I'm pretty sure I could change all of it, right? Like, that's the way I think. I'm like, there's like when we talk about my daughter, you know, we're just all passengers in her reality. That comes from me. And so there's,
but you cannot change it. It's up to her. She's no. What's her name? If you want to share it,
Ava.
It's Everland.
She's
in Everland. It's a happy place. Just leave it alone.
100%. But there's, I don't know, like, I am of the belief a lot of times that I can convince people. And so I have spent way too much time in the past trying to talk to people about how they feel and how they should feel differently. And that was just a giant trap. It was horrible. Like, and finally, eventually, I was like, screw this. I'm not going to do it. And I wish that I had taken the stance you seem to have taken now, which is like, it's not worth it.
Just so everyone knows in the podcast, I've been doing YouTube since early 2015. So it took a while before I went to this. It used to be that every single negative comment was getting straight into my heart, and I was crying because of some of them.
They stick to you, these comments. That's good, because I'm going to share something again. When I was in that ethics period where people were like very hateful for I don't know what reason, someone told me, I laugh now, but at the time I was like, oh my God, they said, you know, you should also brush your back teeth because they're yellow.
Oh my God.
So I'm laughing now, but speaking about do I care, can I change it, and do I want to change it, I went through these stages, and now, well, you can't really see, but I have an electric toothbrush, and I'm using like charcoal toothpaste. So thanks to this guy, my teeth are now evenly white.
My teeth are not white.
Mine,
oh, no. Right there.
Someone actually commented once, like, you shouldn't be smoking because your teeth are yellow. And I was like, I'm asthmatic. I never had a smoke in my life.
I was going to say, I've never. I would be shocked to see you smoke.
I never did. The thing is, my teeth are yellow because I was heavily medicated as a kid. I was even getting like the teeth whitened 3 times and just nothing works. They said that if I want to have really nice, beautiful teeth, I would have to take them all off, all out, and put the new ones. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm fine with my teeth. They're great. Charcoal and stuff. I'm trying. It's not going to change. And people saying like, stop smoking. It's like, dude.
but the funny thing is like, actually, there was a comment one time, like, you know, we talk about negative comments being hard, but sometimes they're really good.
Yeah.
I mean, in a sense, like I would totally like, I am super, like my teeth are definitely a weak spot because like I have really bad teeth. I mean, I have so many crowns, I should be an emperor. Right. And so like, actually just a couple weeks ago, this tooth broke off. It just snapped right off. Now it had been root canaled a long time ago. But like bad teeth is a thing in my family. And so and I abused some drugs and it made it worse, quite frankly. It broke off, and I am pretty much willing to roll with anything, period. That is the first time I have not been willing to roll with something. And I got home and I like looked at it and was like mortified. I don't do mortified very well, very often at all. Like I probably could count on my first 4 fingers the number of times it's happened. And we were supposed to go to parties and my wife was like, just go, you won't smile. I smile every time I talk and people, I would know that I was smiling when people would flinch. I mean, I was in the road, we were in the road talking to people and just, we did not go to the parties, by the way. Thank God. Cause I think a lot of people got COVID from them, but we were in the road talking with a set of neighbors we had never really met before. This young couple, they had this little kid, and I started like talking to the kid and I just broke out into this giant smile and my wife was like, shut your mouth.
Oh my God, I'm crying.
I mean, it was, hold on, all right, here you go. Lexi,
yes.
I need 100% promise from you that you will not share this video.
I promise.
Of this picture anywhere.
I will not. I'm not having any pictures or anything. I'm not recording the screen, so I'm gonna.
Oh, you're not recording. Okay, if you're not recording, then
no, I'm just recording the sound.
Yeah, you should definitely leave that in, anyways. So hold on. Let me see if I can find it. Like it was hands down. I looked like a freaking hillbilly. I look like a damn hillbilly.
I'm actually there obsessed with my teeth.
All right.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay. Yes. Oh God.
I mean, look.
For you guys,
this
know,
is yeah. It won't.
In the podcast,
it won't focus.
It's drastic.
Is that not bad? I was like, and the worst part is if it had it like when it broke, it sheared, and there was a the black part was actually a filling. But it just looked like I had this decayed half a tooth in my head and it was awful. God. And I mean, I told my wife, I was like, if it had completely snapped off, I'd roll with it. Right. I'd be like, yeah. Hey, doing there, boys. I'll tell you what, I was out in the deer woods the other day and I got hit by a bar and it was, you know, but because it looked so awful, and the worst part, because my family loves me,
that's
every
good.
Time I started smiling, they made fun of me.
That's how usually it works, right?
I mean, my wife was in tears so many times that weekend because it happened on a Friday.
Of course,
and I could not go to the dentist until Monday. So exciting.
Yeah, but I'm so obsessed about teeth because I never even had like this I don't know braces? How it's called. I had braces, but okay. I never even had this, like when they take nerves out of your teeth.
Oh, root canal.
Yes. I never had this. I never had this. So
they're easy.
I'm so, I hate the sound of what they do to your teeth. And I remember when they were taking my wisdom teeth, the sound was mm-hmm. the worst. It didn't hurt. It was the sound. So like my dentist is actually using a gel instead of this drill thing on me because mm-hmm. the sound is just making me cringe and mm-hmm. So I'm so afraid about my teeth because I don't want anything to be done to them. Mm-hmm. So whenever yeah, someone's commenting like, you have yellow teeth, you should take more care of them. I'm like, dude, you have no idea.
No idea.
I'm terrified.
I have fallen asleep in multiple root canals.
Wow.
It's a skill.
Let me tell you. Going back to setting the world on fire, you have to have had like five root canals before you're thinking, oh, it's a nap. Awesome.
I'm mortified right now.
but here's the thing. It's not the sound of tooth drilling that bothers me. I don't care about the shots. I'm like, as long as you're not jamming those giant needles into my mouth, I'm okay. As long as you do it gently, we're good. It's the smell of tooth after it's been heated and has been drilled on. And I'm like
I don't know.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, God. It is literally the worst freaking smell on the planet.
I think my other thing is also that I don't see it. Like, I can, like, when I had my accident with my foot, I can hold my foot together. That's fine. I can see them putting needle into the skin and seeing the needle coming the other way around. It's fine. I can see whatever. It's fine. I just need to see it. But with tooth, I cannot see it. So I don't know what's going on.
They need to install a tiny FPV camera and you just wear your goggles while they're working and you can start seeing what they're doing.
Nope. I don't know if that would work, but really I need to see stuff that they are doing to me. Then it's fine. It's like, you want to put a huge needle into my veins and get the blood, go do it. You want to operate me, whatever, I can see it, it's fine. Okay, good. But if I don't see it, it hurts more. I don't know why.
That's interesting. It means you have lots of imagination, maybe, so it's worse if you don't see the reality because your mind starts.
Yeah, my mind is like, you don't want, I cannot stay alone, bored for too long.
Yeah. People, it is midnight in Australia.
Noelle, this is Noelle.
Yeah, I'm
falling down.
She's like slowly falling out of the screen right now.
I really do enjoy this episode though, and I think we should totally do another one with you, Michael.
I would love to.
I feel like there's heaps of things we could still talk about. So it should become like a sort of tradition, like we have you on key moments of this podcast.
I would be honored.
It would be nice. Guys, in the comments, let us know on Instagram if you enjoy having Michael Rollins as our guest.
And most importantly, now, are you going to go tell Rollins as well when you need to say something? Your DM inbox is going to explode. Yeah.
If anybody has an issue, I would just like to offer my services, especially if it's controversial. Please let me know. Just remember, if you're not happy with something, go tell Rollins.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for joining.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast. And, you know, having definitely closed down the show, this was a nice way to just kind of like decompress and not really worry. Like, I was actually really looking forward to it. So thank you.
Yay.
Thanks. We're really happy. So thanks everybody for also joining for this first episode of 2022. And we hope you enjoyed this one. You can, you know, as usual, support the podcast by following us on Instagram, like Lexi said at the start. If you have never seen any videos of Michael Rollins, who knows, that can happen. His YouTube channel is literally Michael Rollins, and things are organized in playlists. It's very well done. So go and have a look. And I would advise to go have a look just to discover a baby side of FPV pilots you haven't seen before. And anyway, That was my attempt at doing a conclusion, but I think I'm too tired for it.
Okay, let me take over then. Thanks, guys, very much for watching this episode of Onigirian Club Podcast. And don't forget to follow us on wherever you are listening to your podcast. This is really important for us and gives us all the nice stats and everything like this. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at onigirianco, follow onigiri.fpv, michaelrollins.io, and myonhi. Because, you know, then you will get a lot of really nice content from us as well. We're going to see you next time in 2 weeks. And I hope that until then, you're going to enjoy this one and maybe share it with your friends and family and a cat. That would be nice. So, happy 2022, everyone. And we're going to see you in the next one. Bye.
Chicken sandwich.
Chicken sandwich.